flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Bill's joke aside, I agree with Judd there at the end.
Yeah.
They scored a bunch of touchdowns in that game, Judd.
Yeah, but they did.
But
I don't think scoring was an issue there.
But he's right. They look
7 more would have helped.
Yeah, no,
7 more would have been different.
I could have used an extra 7.
He's right. We're wrong.
Yeah, okay.
But have you ever been at a game where a hat trick was scored?
I want to say yes, but I'm not going to swear by that. I want to say yes. Where people are hucking.
Did you huck your hat?
No.
So let's say you were at the game last night and you're like, I'm keeping my hat. First hat trick happens, bunch of guys toss their hats. Yeah. Then you're like, there's not going to be another one.
No, this is a good question.
Second hat trick, You're like, you're the only guy in the crowd still with a hat.
There's only one person with a hat.
Hey, bud, you better fire that hat in there.
Throw your hat!
Or like, do you purposely wear like a crap hat to a hockey game? Because you're like, I'm going to have to chuck this thing.
You got to kind of know that's in the cards. You got to kind of show up.
Yeah.
To a hockey
game.
Or
do you want to be the hat the player always picks? Like, they always pick a hat to, like, keep out of the hat trick hats.
So like a sombrero, maybe.
Yeah,
like
you got to wear
a giant hat.
Yeah, like a...
Yeah, it's a big hat. It's funny. Like a Turd Ferguson hat.
Like Brian Robinson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a big hat.
Yeah,
I was thinking, like,
some of the hats Tim
Robinson wears in, like, some of his sketches. Maybe something like that.
Oh, yeah. The one with the fedora with the flaps on it?
Yes. Exactly. Precisely.
I was thinking the Detroit is when he bought the Kangol.
The Kangol.
He was like posing at it with his desk.
Love the Kangol.
I actually find it funnier than you do.
Yeah, maybe you wear a Kangol.
Yeah. The guy at the store said, I'm the only one who can pull this off. Fire that onto the ice.
Yeah,
I don't think I would, but I think there's so like the first one happens and you can kind of get past it. You're like, whew, like dodge the bullet there.
Yeah. People are looking at me weird, but.
Second hat trick? Like, dude, you got to go. Otherwise, there's probably no hats on the ice for the second one.
I've never factored that in when I've gone to when we went to a hockey match earlier this year.
Yeah, I probably wore a hat, I think.
Yeah.
And there was no hat trick, so I wasn't worried about
it. But you risked it.
A lot of peer pressure.
You risked it.
Yeah.
I think I went hat-free that day, I believe, but you risked it. You wore a hat. You might have had to huck that thing down there.
Yeah.
That is embarrassing if you're a little far enough back. First of all, you got to get it over the glass. So now it's like, what if you throw it and it doesn't make it?
Guys, can I get that back? Yeah, I bet. No, the guy in the front row looks at you, and then he just tosses it over.
Yeah,
and he's like,
that's probably what happens.
Yeah,
I'd imagine that's probably what happens. But that's
like, well, I'm keeping this.
So not only did I lose a hat, now I've been emasculated.
Oh, very emasculated.
With my
you're
little,
a baby girl.
My little chicken arm can't get this thing over the glass.
Yeah, not close enough.
I don't need that in my life.
Because what do they end up doing with all those hats? I know they kind of like sweep them up, and then what? What happened? They go to like the big department store in the sky?
Yeah,
where do they go?
I don't know.
Lids?
I don't know. It's Trump's America. Now where do they send those hats? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Good question. But no, I thought the Sabres, first of all, the Bruins had no chance. If we're going to be fair, if we're really going to be fair about it, I know the Sabres have had a bad year, but when they show up wearing those sweaters.
Wow. What a complete uniform.
Yeah, that was thinking, Joe Sacco saw him take the ice. Yeah. One more time, Joe. When you saw those Sabres uniforms,
he's like, damn it.
Blue on blue, and man alive, what a beautiful uniform. The logo, not one but two swords on it.
Yeah.
Crossed swords, which I know you're not supposed to do.
No, but
crossed swords.
Well, let me tell you, in this situation,
Buffalo,
it works.
Man, that's nice. Yeah, it works.
It works.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, this isn't, I don't love this.
No.
This isn't ideal. You're supposed to be the last place Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah.
You guys are looking like this. And the Bruins suck on the road. They suck out loud on the road.
They're like 1-7-1, I think, on the road
so
over
that
the last
was,
nine.
That wasn't ideal. And, yeah, you lose the game. What an opportunity to just grab a couple of points, move up a little bit in the standings. A couple of teams around you that played last night, like Montreal and Tampa Bay, they both lost in regulation, so you could have gained some ground on them, and you didn't do it. So, yeah, no, that was a frustrating game all around.
They are 1-7-1 on the road since Christmas. That's also known as 1-8 on the road since Christmas. And so, yeah, it's not been a good go for them.
They're getting some of their guys back. They were a little undermanned, whatever. I mean, you're playing the last place team. There's no excuses. But they were down defensively. I think those guys were making their way back soon.
Yeah. So, maybe on some nights you give them that excuse, not against
not
one of the worst teams
God,
in
no.
hockey.
No, not doing that.
As you said earlier in the show, the Sabres are always undermanned. And
every game.
It doesn't matter who you have out there. You should be beating the Buffalo Sabres. You just won without McAvoy and Lindholm. Lindholm hasn't been in the lineup in forever. You just won without those guys the other night. So honestly, I don't want to hear that excuse. But yeah, that was like a throwback Sabres team. That was like the Dominator was in net.
Oh my God, Alexander Mogilny sliding down the left side there.
Pat LaFontaine
50 on you,
just rushing in.
That was a good
team.
And
so that was ugly last night for the Bruins, to the point where you got to wonder what the next shoe to drop is. Elliot Friedman, arguably the most respected insider.
Yep.
Well, in the NHL
is now maybe. Scoops Keefe took a hit, which he shouldn't have.
You're working your way up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say you're working your way up on the
dusted myself
game.
Off.
Yeah, yeah,
not
yeah.
that I was wrong.
No?
Just the fact that people were really mad about it.
Yeah, they're casting aspersions. This is what they're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're working your way up.
But Friedman,
Elliot Friedman, very good,
well respected.
Not ruling out that the Bruins could trade Brad Marchand.
Huh.
At the trade deadline.
Well, we were told last week by our Bruins insider that they're definitely not going to trade Brad Marchand.
No, you don't trade captains in the sport. They don't get traded.
Well,
the Bruins have never traded a captain, that's for sure.
So let me stop you right there. The Bruins have, and teams have, the New York Rangers have. So
pretty sure Gretzky was a captain when he went from Edmonton to LA.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I would say.
King's Ransom. They did a 30 for 30 on it. Is that what they called it? I think it was King's Ransom.
Was
it
the
first 30 for 30, the Wayne Gretzky thing? Yeah, look into it.
I'll dig it up. But yeah, I know.
But captains do get traded.
They get traded. It might not be the smartest move, but they do get traded. So that to me is faulty logic. I know they get traded. I know this team in my lifetime has traded multiple captains. So yeah, I definitely don't rule it out.
Because what can you get in return for some of these other guys? Probably not much. I think you're going to keep Pastrnak. You're going to keep McAvoy. You're going to keep Swayman. How many other guys are teams even going to call on? Or if you call them, would be even willing to give you anything worth a damn, right? Like, so I think if Don Sweeney's taking calls between now and March 7th, I bet Marchand's name's coming up. And they're just like, hey, would you do it? What would it take?
Or if you guys are still in it.
Yeah.
I'm a former Marchand guy.
Yeah.
You
sold your stock.
You're a contender.
Just in time.
Yeah, him and Liam Cohen. So you're a contender.
Yeah.
Don't you want Brad Marchand? Like, wouldn't he fit in? He doesn't have to be your leader and your captain and one of your best players. He could be probably in your top six. Maybe,
tomorrow, for example.
Maybe he's a third line player on a championship caliber team. And you could get him at the deadline?
He might even be higher than that. So if tomorrow night they play Winnipeg, who has the best record in hockey. I think they're tied with the Capitals for the most points. So what if they take a look and they're like, oh, I kind of like to look at this. Or you mean just go out there and slew foot guys, grab him by the throat and lick him. So we don't really know what he's going
to
do.
I mean, there's that. I mean, he tried to throat rip that guy the other night.
He did. And everybody was like, whatever.
Yeah, it's just Brad being Brad.
100% Brad being Brad.
Yeah, they're like not even anywhere near
nobody cared.
His worst infraction.
No. Wouldn't even make the highlight reel.
No, it's not on a Mount Rushmore of Marchand questionable moves.
Or if you had like a 2-minute video to put on Twitter, you'd be like, yeah, we can't include the throat
maybe
rip.
Maybe at like 155.
Here comes the throat rip.
We'll work it in.
No, but some of those Western Conference teams that are looking to add to it, you think Cassidy would want him?
Oh, that'd be awesome. That actually would be great.
That would be pretty sweet.
Good call. So, but I'm just saying,
Nick Montgomery would
want him. Saying Marchand doesn't, you don't need to rely on Marchand, I wouldn't think, the way the Bruins do.
Yeah.
And you could get more out of him if he is a second line player, third line player in a dream scenario. What he'd bring to the table would be phenomenal. And I just, how many tradable assets do the Bruins have? I mean, Pasternak is tradable. Are you moving him?
I'm not.
Me neither.
No, I'm not either. No.
Are you moving, like, in the right deal, I would. Like, you're telling me...
Well, right. I mean, let's not go crazy.
You're telling me...
Everybody's tradable if, like,
Makar is available. Yeah. Right, exactly. Somebody like, but, like, if I'm not getting blown away, ideally, I'm not moving Pasternak.
No.
McAvoy's a tradable player. Are you moving him?
I'm not.
Swayman's a
I'd
tradable...
I'd like him to be better than he is,
me too.
But I'm not dealing
Swayman's
him.
Tradable. Yeah. Are you moving him?
No. You just went through that whole dog and pony show of keeping him.
I'm also not moving any of those guys. And you could get way more out of McAvoy. You could get way more out of Swayman. I would have said that about Pasternak about a month ago. He's been playing well. Like, we brought up Morgan Geeky the other day. Is Morgan Geeky a guy who, if you were retooling and selling, teams would be interested in adding to their bottom six? Maybe. But I don't think you have a ton of tradable assets. Marchand's the one.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And when Elliot Friedman, some say the best insider in the sport,
mm-hmm.
not to be disrespectful.
Oh, it's understood. I get it.
And he's not
Didn't
ruling
Marshall out... go after Friedman because Friedman had
yes.
that he's signing a 3-year deal?
Actually... One thing you have in common with
Elliot
that? Friedman,
Keith. Oh, look at me.
Is Marsham went after Elliot Friedman.
We're the Predator meme.
Well, that's...
you and your memes.
That's true.
Me and, Friedman?
Yeah, just shaking hands.
Marsham yelling at us. Bang!
Now, unfortunately for you, as I think about it, that Friedman scoop didn't age very well because it was that Marsham had a contract extension.
Oh, boy.
So I don't want the last time Marsham went after somebody.
All right, well, that just speaks up to my hit rate still higher than Friedman's.
That's a good point.
Okay.
You know what? I misspoke when I said Friedman best in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't rule out Marsham getting dealt. So what do the Bruins need to do? How do you fix him? You can jump in here. 617-779-7937. And just one more time because I want to hear it again. I think Joe Sacco gave us the perfect embodiment.
Yeah, he did.
Of the Bruins season. How are we feeling about the Bruins in 2025? Like, he hasn't even coached them the whole year, Keith.
No, he hasn't.
He hasn't even been, I mean, I guess he's been on staff all year, but he hasn't even been the head coach the whole year.
It ages you like a president. Like, these poor guys.
Jim
exactly Montgomery
right.
lost all his hair coaching this team.
Didn't have a hair on his head by the time he left
no
here.
More hair.
Nope. And Joe Sacco, one more time, is just beside us. Beside
That's
us.
That's tough. It's like, how many more games?
They're like, oh, you have 30.
30? What the hell?
So you guys can jump in on the Bruins. Let's get to your phone calls. Here, Brian's in South Kingstown. Hello, Brian.
Brian? Are you there?
Is that a bodily function, Brian? What was that noise?
Brian, let's be well, Brian.
Let's put Brian back on
Stay
hold.
Stay strong, Brian.
This is the kind of subject line.
The hell? Jones is right?
I yearn for. Joe in Rhode Island. Hello, Joe.
Come on, Joe.
Jones, I love you, man. You're so right when you say that Brady would have at least won two without Belichick. But don't say that to Wiggy because he almost wanted to bite off Curtis's head off when he tried to use an example. If Brady went to New Orleans, that he wouldn't have been the greatest of all time. The facts show. I mean, you don't have to be a genius. Why can't we say Belichick wouldn't be Belichick if it wasn't for Brady? Why is it always the other way around in this town?
Well, so it's a fair point because we actually do know what Belichick is without Brady.
That part's confirmed.
Yeah.
There's no speculation on that. We saw Belichick before Brady. We saw him in a season or two when Brady was either suspended or hurt, and then we saw him after. So
We have the full gamut with Bill. We only have late career Brady without Bill, but we have a full gamut of Bill's entire career, beginning, middle, and end, without Brady.
No, the other part is debatable. And I could see why both sides could dig in.
You don't think it's a fact like Joan Rhode Island was saying?
I don't. So I could see why Wiggy is so dug in on his side and why Curtis is so dug in on his side. Tom Brady got drafted in the sixth round, so the whole NFL didn't really think all that highly of Tom Brady, including the Patriots, because they took him sixth, or in the sixth round.
Yeah,
so he gets in here.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch. It was more than six draft picks before Brady. Yeah,
yeah, right.
So
if they love like that whole thing, like they knew it, they scouted him. It's like, then maybe make sure that you get him and don't wait till the last second. Anyway, but Tom Brady got developed, and you have to give the coach also – throw Charlie Weiss in there too if you want, but like you have to give the coaches on the staff some credit. Otherwise, what's the point of coaches at all? Like, why do teams even have coaches if you're not going to improve the players a little bit? So we don't know. That's the one thing that we really don't know, because I think they brought up Wiggy was like, what if he went to play for Jim Haslett? And Wiggy's like, I played for Jim Haslett. He sucked. So like it was a great argument. But so like if he goes there, would he have won multiple Super Bowls with Jim Haslett? Maybe not. But maybe Haslett gets fired, somebody else comes in, or he goes to another team or whatever. Like, it's such a butterfly effect. We don't know where it was going to go, but we just look at the talent that he has, the competitiveness that he has, like the attention to detail, all the way he took care of his body, like all that stuff. That we know. I feel like he probably would have found a way to win. To say he would have won seven, I think, is probably a stretch. Like, that might have been the perfect place at the perfect time. But if he goes somewhere else, I bet we're talking about maybe the debate ends at Brady or Manning. Or I'm sorry, Brady or Montana. They both have four. Who do you like? And blah, blah, blah. But still, it's on the short list of best quarterbacks ever.
I believe, there's no way to prove it, but I believe no matter where Brady wound up, he's winning multiple Super Bowls. I don't care if it's Jim Haslett and the Saints.
All right.
I don't care.
All right.
And if you don't believe that, then you just don't think Brady's very good. Like, if you don't believe that Brady was talented enough to be a multi-time Super Bowl champion, no, regardless of where he wound up,
then you don't think Brady's very good.
You don't think very much of Brady. It's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
I think that's the most fair way to say it, Keith. He wouldn't have won seven without Bill.
No.
I give
because you got off to a hot start.
Yeah.
Like, that team was, it was like a perfect storm, and they were able to win early.
But he would have won, and to me, he would have won more than once. And I use the Kurt Warner example a lot. Kurt Warner was in Green Bay's camp. He was undrafted, but he was with the Packers. He had to go to the Arena League. He was coaching for Northern Iowa. He was bagging groceries. He was playing in NFL Europe. He came back to the NFL with Dick Vermeil and the Rams. He was a backup to Trent Green. He got the job. He won. He went back to another and lost to Brady. He went back to another later on in his career with Arizona. I personally think Tom Brady's a lot better than Kurt Warner.
Don't sleep on Kurt Warner now.
And Kurt Warner's great.
Yeah, yeah.
The NFL found Kurt Warner, and Kurt Warner broke through and won one. I think Brady would have won multiple. There's no way to prove it, but that's what I believe. And I think despite being a sixth-round pick and getting great early coaching and development from Bill Belichick, I think he would have figured out how to play quarterback in the NFL regardless of where he wound up and done it at a high level. 617-779-7937. We'll do more on Brady and Mahomes later in the week. We did a lot on Bill and Andy Reid on yesterday's show. We briefly touched on Kelce and Gronk earlier today. Greatest tight end of all time. Let's start with this, Keith. You think those are the two greatest, right?
I do.
There's no one else
Yeah.
I mean, maybe tangential players, but if you're going to narrow it down to two guys, those are the top two names at tight end in the history of the
sport. And I know older fans would probably, you know, find their guy, whether it's Mike Ditka or whatever, and I respect that. Like, if you want to prop up an old school tight end, smash mouth tight end, then so be it. But for me, it's definitely these two guys. Now, they play the position different, and I think that's where the argument either ends and there just isn't one, or you can actually have a good debate. So the people that think that Kelce doesn't block and he's not a true tight end, then they don't really want to have the discussion, then it's over. But if you want to say he's listed as a tight end, he's a Pro Bowl tight end, he's like all decade team tight end,
yeah,
he just plays it different. Just like, you know, Edelman plays it different than Randy Moss, but they're both wide receivers. Nobody's like, well, the best slot receiver. Like, that's such a ridiculous nuance. I guess some people maybe do have that conversation. But so to me, I would take Gronk. And I know the counting numbers are now in favor of Kelce, regular season and playoffs, with the exception of regular season touchdowns. That's
right.
Still Gronk.
Postseason touchdowns are Kelce. But
so I will take it. Yeah, postseason, they've played very similar games too. And for Kelce to have the numbers that he has are off the charts. The team success right now is equal. I know Gronk technically has four rings, but we know he was hurt for one of them. So if you want to say 3-3, Kelce TBD might rack up another one a week from Sunday. I would take Gronk's touchdowns, Gronk's blocking, and Gronk's at his best. I would say those are all checkmark for him, which outweigh what we've seen so far with Kelce.
Because I agree with you. Pete Gronk was better than Pete Kelce.
Yeah.
But that's not really the discussion we're having, but I would concede that point. Gronk at his absolute apex, his peak, was better than Kelce. But Kelce did it for longer, and he's done it in big games. And I personally don't care about the blocking when they win a lot and they've won a lot. I felt this way last year. When Kelce won last year, I said, greatest tight end of all time. He's passed Gronk. Gronk had been at the top of the list for me for a long time. I would argue about this with Arcan, going back a long ways. He would argue for Tony Gonzalez. I'm like, it's Gronk, it's Gronk. Kelce, to me, passed this by when he won last year. There's two big red flags for Gronk, beyond just the numbers and everything else. You can line up the Pro Bowls, huge advantage for Kelce, same amount of first-team All-Pros. The Patriots won without Gronk in 2016. You just said that he has four rings, but he only played in three of those Super Bowls.
Yeah, in the playoffs, you kind of found out in that stretch that Edelman was more important.
So that's a big strike against Gronk. They were able to win with Martellus Bennett one of those years in there. They didn't need Gronk to win a Super Bowl in 2016. That's a big strike against him. The other one, and this isn't really Gronk's fault, he only played with Brady. Outside of a handful of games with Garoppolo and Brissett, he only played with Brady. Kelce was a three-time Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro before Patrick Mahomes ever played a snap with him. He did that with, you know, Alex Smith. Maybe it was just Alex Smith. I'm trying to remember other names in Kansas City. He was already an established tight end. And so that's not the end-all, be-all, but Kelce was well on his way without a Hall of Fame, all-time great quarterback to being a perennial Pro Bowler and a first-team All-Pro. And we just don't know that with Gronk. So I have been arguing Kelce for over a year. I think it's Kelce. That's one I would give to Kansas City when we line up these dynasties. We'll do more on Brady and Mahomes tomorrow at 11 o'clock here on Jones and Keefe. We can mix in some phone calls. Let's go to Mike in East Longmeadow. Hello, Mike.
How are you?
Good.
You know, I hear this debate forever and ever, and nobody will ever know for sure about Brady and Belichick. I think they both complimented each other, and I don't think either one of them would have had as many without the other. Is that a fair statement?
Yes. Well,
the other thing,
Brady would have had some without Bill. I don't think Bill would have had any without Brady. But keep
I don't
going.
Think
yeah.
either would have okay. had seven.
No, I'll agree with that.
Oh, Brady, I'm sorry. Well, actually, one of them doesn't have seven.
Guys,
yeah.
Before Brady left for Tampa, the Patriots' record was about the same percentage-wise without Brady as with Brady.
Yeah, what happened when Brady
After
left?
After he left. Well, that's a different start. They didn't have Gronk. They didn't have Edelman. They didn't have a lot of people.
They had Edelman.
Wait.
He's saying when Brady was in New England, like the Castle year, the four games with Garoppolo and Brissett, he's saying their winning percentage didn't drop off all that much, is what he's saying. But then when he left, it dropped off a ton.
I think it still did, though.
They did have Edelman.
Are you not counting 2000?
Good point.
The Drew Bledsoe year, they're 5-11.
If you factor in 2000, it probably does tank it. You're right. I think he's just talking about Castle. I'll be honest, I don't really know what numbers he's talking about. And I don't get why that's relevant. Gronk followed Brady to Tampa. They still had Edelman here.
By the way,
they still had, McCourty's and all those guys.
Yeah. I just looked it up real quick. Travis Kelce has caught touchdowns in the regular season from four different quarterbacks.
Oh, good.
One each from Matt Moore and Nick Foles.
Okay.
And then 54 from Patrick Mahomes, 21 from Alex Smith.
Okay, so it was only Smith prior to Mahomes getting
Smith
it.
And Mahomes.
Okay.
As the starters, yeah.
So again,
but still, I mean, Smith. I mean, I know he was a high pick, but what does everybody think about Alex Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like him. Maybe you like him more than I do. I don't like him. So 3-time Pro Bowl and a first team All Pro with Alex Smith.
Right,
that's something.
This
Gronk does not. It's not Gronk's fault, but Gronk doesn't have that on his resume.
And also, like the juxtaposition between winning and losing, like with Edelman, Gronk, that kind of thing. Whereas the Chiefs won without Tyreek Hill. Like you removed Tyreek Hill from it. You won with him, and you were like kind of overpowered offense. Then you take him away, and he was still the centerpiece. And you won it that way.
No, it's a good point. Russ is in New Hampshire. Hello, Russ.
And Russ is gone.
No, he's not. Okay.
Russ is like, I can't do it.
He wanted
they
to
took,
talk.
They said all my points.
He wanted to take the, we took the thunder away.
Yep,
is what
I've heard that.
617-779-7937. You can jump in line here on Jones and Keefe. You can also jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart, you got Fitzy, and Ted Johnson, who's stirred up the people.
Oh, they're mad.
He's riling them up. Mm-hmm. Got the people going, as they say.
Sure did.
So that comes your way at 2. We have our clip du jour, Billy Lanny, with all the latest in trending. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Grab Bag.